good morning. So as, you know, now that it's all put together, and like Steve was saying, this is our final week of our Run the Race series, speaking on it, I have to wonder if it maybe it would have been more appropriate to name it Jogging for Jesus. What do you think? Jogging for Jesus. And in fact, I'm going to wait for them because there's a slide I'm waiting on. So we'll make sure we're all queued up here. There we go. Jogging for Jesus. We could have our little iPod and just kind of, you know, this Run the Race is a little bit excessive in many ways. I mean, it seems like it's like you're pushing, you know, and jogging for Jesus is kind of a lot easier. It's softer, gentler. But there is a big problem, and that is that the concept with jogging for Jesus is really probably more how Christians typically live, in that we don't have a real goal in mind so often with our Christian life. We don't have something where we are looking for the prize, where we are so committed to something that we're willing to not just jog for it, but begin to really run hard. So all of our pictures are of people that are running hard. And it's for a reason. And the icon we have up here, by the way, this is not something we're worshiping. This is just simply an icon to represent the idea that we want to run hard. We want to run the race to know Christ, because that prize is worth running hard for, running our hearts out for. And there's for good reason that we're willing to run to win this prize. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul writes, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way." There's another slide that should be coming up on that. "Run in such a way that you may obtain it." I wanted to make sure they're all. There's another slide up there that should be coming on. Okay, we'll go on. So, let me read that again, because there we go. Let me read that again so we get on track here. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." And you can see that these guys, they are struggling to get to that prize. Paul's telling us to run our hearts out again so that we can receive this prize. So why is it so often that we find ourselves just jogging through the Christian life? And I think that the reason that we jog is because we fail to really perceive the value of the prize. Jesus Christ tells us a parable in Matthew. In Matthew 13:45, he says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he found a pearl of great value, he went out and sold everything, and he bought it." And as I think about this merchant searching throughout the country, because these merchants, they didn't just go out to the local corner wholesaler and buy a pearl. They went out across the land, and they had to search to find just the right pearl. And they were well trained as to what a pearl of great value looked like. And so let's say he's out there searching, and one day he comes upon this beautiful, large pearl. Now, how would he know that it's valuable, first of all? Well, he had to be well trained in pearls. And some of the things you have to know about pearl is is what colors are more valuable. For example, a jet black pearl is very, very rare. You can get dark ones, but to get a jet black one, you want the outside, the iridescence, to be so strong that you're getting this rainbow effect on it. You want the surface of it to be clean without scratches and holes and things like that. You want it to be large, but not just large, but with a nice round shape. Because you can get large, but the larger you get, the more oblong they get. So you want a perfectly round one. There are a lot of things that you need to know in order to find that perfect pearl. And when this guy came across this beautiful pearl, right away, he not only decided to buy it, but he decided that he would end up selling everything that he owned, everything, in order to have this wonderful, beautiful pearl. And I imagine this guy purchasing this, knowing that he just gave up everything he had to get this pearl, what he must have been like as he left that merchant. I could see him just gazing at his pearl. It's beautiful. And when he's going to put it in his, you think he's going to shove it in his pocket? I don't think so. I think he couldn't search long enough for a pouch that would not scratch its surface. And when he had it in his pouch, he would make sure that I don't even know if he would have any place he wanted to put it so that he couldn't lose it. He probably just grasped it in his hand. He's not going to let go. And when he found somebody that he was close to and he wanted to show them, can you imagine him? Oh, you've got to see this thing. And he pulls it out. This is a beautiful. Look at that. And the person looking at it may not even understand what makes this pearl so gorgeous. They would see that it's beautiful, but they don't understand all of the facts around it. But the merchant gets it. And he knows that there's probably somebody out there like him, somebody very rich, that will understand too. And he would be so excited and so careful with this thing. He understands the value of that pearl. And I think that that is the issue that comes up with this prize. He sees the value in pearl, and that prize is what he has. I wonder to myself, well, why doesn't everybody just go out and buy the pearl? Well, again, they don't understand the value. The pearl, in the story of the parable by Jesus Christ, represented the kingdom of heaven. And really, what is the kingdom of heaven all about? It's about a relationship. The kingdom of heaven is actually all about our relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, really, the pearl is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the pearl. He is the prize of unbelievable value. He is the prize worth running our hearts out to get. Running for the prize to know Jesus is what our campaign is all about, to get us to understand that this is what matters. It's the prize of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. We're running because the God of this universe has chosen to come down and in an incarnate man, Jesus Christ, live a perfect life because He loves us. Beyond our ability to fathom, the value of the prize of Him loving us is beyond our perception, our understanding, and so we tend to cast it off like either a fake or something that doesn't have the value. It does. It really has the value if we can just perceive it. If we can stop and think through it. God, incarnate, came down to earth and died for us, for you, for me, in order that we could have a relationship with Him for eternity. Now, that is value. That is the prize. That is worth everything. That was worth the merchant giving up everything for, to have Jesus Christ. How do we respond to the prize? Do we see the prize and say, yeah, that's pretty nice. How much are you getting for that? Or do we say, oh my goodness, I cannot believe what's being offered. I cannot believe that I have the opportunity to grasp this prize, this pearl, this Jesus Christ of unmeasurable value. Now Paul, the Apostle Paul, he gets it. He understands fully that Jesus Christ is worth an immeasurable amount. He tells us in Philippians 3, 7 to 8, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and even count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. See, Paul's just like the merchant. He was willing to give up everything in order to have Christ. Why does Paul give everything up? Why is it that he even thinks that he has to give everything up for Christ? In the merchant, he had to buy the pearl. But Christ doesn't require us to give everything up. But Paul says he does. Why does he do that? Well, I think he does that. Well, he says why he does that. He does it because the earthly affections that we have hinder us as we try to gain or grasp or know Christ. You see, we're weighed down by all of our earthly affections. We have, whether it's our homes or our cars or our careers or our value in the things that we do, our sports or our families even our children, these things we place so much value on the things that we have on earth that they become a load on our back. I mean, if we put a load on our runner's back, he's not going to be able to really strive to get the prize. And that's what Paul is saying, that he decides, I am letting everything go. Not because I can't have Christ if I hold on to earthly things, but because I want Christ so bad, I'm unloading everything and anything that's going to hold me back from pursuing Christ with all of my heart. I have my eyes on the prize. And that's where I'm running. That's what Paul's talking about. In Philippians 3:10, he goes on to say, my aim is to know Him. And he's talking about know Christ in an intimate way. He's already met Christ. But he wants to know Christ deeper. I want to really know Christ. And he goes about talking it three ways that he wants to go about knowing Christ. He wants to experience the power of His resurrection. He wants to share in His sufferings, and he wants to be like Him in His death. Now, these are three of the ways that Paul is explaining that he wants to know Christ. First of all, we go back to better understand what he's talking about. In Ephesians, Paul talks about a prayer for the Ephesians, and he prays that they will come to know the length and the width and the height and the depth of the love of Christ. Because to know that, he says, if you come to know, and he's praying for them for this, he's saying, I pray that you'll come to know
this kind of love that Jesus Christ has, if you just begin to comprehend this incredible love, then Christ will overflow, God will overflow in your life. Paul understands this concept because he's lived it, and he understands with these Ephesians that the more you get it, the more you will just overflow. And what happens when you begin to overflow is you start running harder. He goes on to talk about experiencing the power of His resurrection. Now, he already is aware of the resurrection, and I'm sure is extremely grateful, but he's talking about he wants to actually experience it. And I believe what he's saying by experience it is I want to be so aware of it, kind of like being aware of Christ's love. I want to be so aware of Christ's resurrection and understand and reflect upon it and dwell on it and embrace it and to understand that I'm part of His resurrection. When I die, I will resurrect just like I'm baptized into Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and I will follow Him in that resurrection and to dwell on that. And as He does that, that it will become a powerful working tool in His life because He will understand what life is about. It's about this resurrection, not about just what's going on today. And he will come to know Christ better. Paul also wants to know Christ more by sharing in His sufferings. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, which by the way is like 5 to 8 years before Philippians is written, and he experiences many more sufferings since Corinthians. But even back when he wrote to the Corinthians, he named a list of sufferings he had already incurred. And I just want to name a few for you. He named that 5 times was I lashed 40 minus 1, which is 39 times 5, which is 195 for the quick math. 195 lashes have I received as I was preaching the gospel. I was persecuted for this. 3 times, he says, he was beaten with a rod. Once he was stoned. 3 times he was shipwrecked. A night and day he was left in the ocean. This is the Paul that's saying, I want to know Christ better in suffering. If I had all that happen, I'd say, I think I suffered enough. Thank you very much. Paul, in fact, he had suffered more since he wrote those things. He's saying, I want to suffer. In Colossians, he explains that he says, I rejoice in my sufferings because it's an opportunity to suffer for Christ. He says he wants to know Christ and that it's worth suffering in order to know Christ better. That is such a commitment to know Christ. And I can't help but just go back to that. He understands the value of the prize of Jesus Christ. He gets it. I am willing to suffer. And I think one of the things he understands about suffering is that when I suffer for the name of Jesus Christ, then I have just a little bit more of an idea of Christ's love for me being willing to suffer on the cross. Because as we actually experience suffering out of love, it gives us an understanding of what real love is and the sacrifice that is like. And Paul was willing to go through this suffering to better understand Christ as he suffered. Paul also says that he wants to know Christ more to be like him in his death. In Philippians 1:20, he says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul wants to know Jesus more, and even in dying. He wants to be willing to act like Christ did, as being obedient all the way up to death. See, Christ was obedient to his Father, it says in Philippians 2, even to the point of death on the cross. And Paul wants to understand Christ just a little bit better by being willing to present the gospel to people, even to the point of dying. Being obedient to God all the way to the end. And by so doing, he will come a little bit closer to knowing, to understanding what Christ was really like. Now, Paul had been running for almost 30 years when he writes this book of Philippians. He says in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I wonder, how was he able to run so hard for so long? I believe it's because the more you experience Christ, the harder you want to run. He had come to know Christ so well, and it only energized him more. And ultimately, he knew his running would end up in the most amazing homecoming we could ever imagine. In Philippians 3:20, it says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we also await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform these humble bodies of ours into the likeness of his glorious body by means of that power by which he is able to subject all things to himself. Imagine Paul now embracing Jesus after living a life where he was willing to sacrifice his own well-being, we call it well-being in the sense of an earthly well-being, but no, for the well-being, I want to know Christ and I'm willing to run this race all out. And now, he is in heaven with Jesus. He finally meets face to face Jesus Christ. Paul wrote about his intentions for our benefit. Run the race to know Christ. It helps us to gain a better understanding of value. We need to be willing to let go of anything and everything that's holding us back from knowing Christ. Nothing is worth us holding back to know Christ better. And the more you know Christ, the harder you'll want to run. So our Run the Race program, again, it starts next week, and we'll be using this booklet. It runs during both services. So if you come to the first service, you can go to the class in the second service, or vice versa. It starts next week, and you can sign out in the lobby, and it will last for 4 weeks. And the issues we'll be going over there are at the top. If you have any doubts about your salvation, Clyde's going to talk to you about that in just a moment. And beyond that, if you even have more questions, you can come to this class and discuss those issues in a small group. We'll be talking about that, about eternal security, meaning once you're saved, can you possibly lose that salvation? What does it mean now that I'm a Christian? What does that, I'm a child of God, but what does that all mean? And how do I grow spiritually? We'll talk about how God loves us and some of the scriptures that explain that and how we love others.